Each month, we try to devote at least one of our interviews to considering some of the wider impacts of scientific practice and scientific life. Recently, we've looked at the impacts of the positive results bias, how women fare in science, and also whether science is losing its best young talent owing to funding shortfalls. This month, with the help of assistant features editors Sarah Shales and Stuart King, we're considering eLife itself and the role of its research digests. And if you're not sure what a digest is, Sarah can explain.
eLife digests are plain language summaries of research articles, and we've been including them in research articles since the journal launched in 2012. They always start with some background information about the area of the research, and they'll set up the kind of research question that the authors of the research article were trying to address with their research. And then they'll talk about the main findings of that research, and then they'll go on at the end to talk about the next steps and kind of the relevance to the research.
How long are they?
The average digest is 347 words, and I know that because we recently looked back, but the range would be about between 200 and 400 words.
So that's on par with a news piece, isn't it, that you'd see in a newspaper?
Yeah, so they're short, complete articles on their own basis. So we do take a number of the articles and we share them on a separate site called Medium. We do that to reach a different audience who aren't already reading the research articles.
What's your motivation for doing this, Sarah?
Our main motivation is that we want to make findings of research papers more accessible to a broader range of people. That includes other scientists from other fields of research. I'm a plant scientist by training, and when I try and read a neuroscience paper, I find it very hard. There's all sorts of jargon that I don't understand. By using much more simple language and active language, so talking in terms of processes happening as opposed to kind of using lots of nouns in the sentences, really helps people who aren't specialists to get hold of that information and use that. We try and aim digests to be accessible to people who are sort of towards the end of their school years and adults who are interested and motivated in science.
Why should the journal do this? Because you could argue it's for scientists, and scientists know a lot of these words anyway.
One of the major motivations is because we're an open access journal, all of our research articles are freely available to read by anyone. So adding the digest in is part of that, in that the audience could be anyone and they can access and read and understand the content. If you want your research to have an impact in the real world, you need to reach beyond the academic community. A digest, although it's a small summary, is a small step towards doing that. One of the other motivations for us doing this is that we get the authors of the research article involved in the writing.
But you haven't always done it like that, though, have you?
I mean, we've always produced digests, but when we started, digests were written by us and by freelance writers who were reading the manuscripts, working out what the important messages were from the paper from that. A couple of years ago, we started asking the authors of the research papers to answer some questions for us in more plain language, and that's really helped us. It highlights what authors think is the main message of their research, and that's been great because we get different voices coming through in the digests because everyone thinks about research in different ways. But it's also been great in that when we send draft digests to the authors to check, they've made fewer changes because actually what we're sending them is something much more similar to what they've seen before, and I think we land up with something that the authors are overall more happy with in the end.
And more importantly, what do the audience think? Because the rule of any medium is give the audience what they want.
That is something that we've looked into relatively recently. At the end of last year, we conducted a survey of current digest readers, and we had over 300 responses. Overwhelmingly, I think the response was fairly positive. Most of the audience are scientists, but we are also reaching non-scientists as well, and that's an audience that we're probably looking to engage more with. But on the whole, both scientists and non-scientists alike find the digest that as we currently write them useful, good structure, good language. So we were very pleased with the results of that survey, actually.
What about other journals? Because lots of journals do go down this same path. So they're offering a similar sort of thing, aren't they? A similar synthesis of what you need to take away from this paper.
Yes. Yeah, so while we're working on this series, we found about 50 journals that actually produce plain language summaries, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's not all of them. One of the things that strikes me about them is there's such a variety out there. They're written in different styles, they're different lengths, they're aimed at different people. So some organisations, for example, the journal Autism, are particularly targeting their summaries at patients and their families.
Do they think this is useful?
Definitely. One of the articles that specifically looked at this exact issue and patient involvement and how plain language summaries can help that. So HD Buzz is an organisation that covers the latest research in Huntington's disease, and they've found that for those families that are affected, finding out about the latest research provides them with real hope to deal with these conditions happening in their families. I think it's a strong motivator for the researchers involved.
But isn't that what a newspaper's for?
Yes and no. So another organisation that's looked into this is Inspire, which is a collection of disease-related social networks. And they've found that patients and their caregivers look into a range of different sources. Over half of them are looking at journal articles. But the slight issue with the journal article is it's not written for them. It's written for other scientists. So it often doesn't quite give them the context of what it means for them and how close it is potentially to a treatment. Newspaper articles, on the other hand, might overemphasize that. They'll focus too much on that and get the headlines, compound X cures cancer. That's often grossly oversimplified. Another organization looking to tackle this is Dr. Media, based in the Netherlands. And it's been inspired by the exact conversations, patients coming to their doctors asking for guidance on what a newspaper story means for them. And they work with clinicians to produce this content because in one-to-one consultations, you're only working with one patient. But by making it accessible online, they can reach a much wider audience.
Were you surprised by what you found?
Yeah, I think we were pleasantly surprised. Our biggest fear when we went into the survey was that we'd find that like no non-scientists were reading eLife Digest.
And then you'd be out of a job.
Yeah, you know, it would feel like the aim of them was being missed, really. So the fact that there are non-scientists interested and motivated enough to find them was really nice and reassuring, I think.
Hear, hear. That was Sarah Shales and Stuart King. And Sarah and Stuart's Inside Guide to eLife Digest, their analysis of plain language research summaries, is online now at elifesciences.org.